WML News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. Darius Geis gets released by the Washington football team after being arrested on multiple domestic violence charges. The Loudoun County Sheriff's Department says Geis was arrested on one count of strangulation, which is a felony, along with assault and battery for incidents which happened in February, March, and April. The team said in a statement, the running back was released after it reviewed the charges. Geis turned himself in and was released on $10,000 bail. Geis was expected to be part of Washington's backfield and was signed through the 2021 season. President Donald Trump reacting to news about foreign interference in November's election.
China and Iran want President Trump to be defeated. Russia wants him to win and is engaged in disinformation campaigns targeting Joe Biden. That's the word from an elections expert in the intelligence community. President Trump asked about the report in New Jersey.
Could be. I mean, I could be very much. I think that the last person Russia wants to see in office is Donald Trump, because nobody's been tougher on Russia than I have ever. Well, I don't care what anybody says.
Throughout his administration, intelligence leaders have said Russia did try to interfere in the 2016 election, tried to influence 2018, and would do so again this year. Bob Costantini, Washington.
Marylanders may be casting their ballots at high schools this November instead of their local precincts. The State Board of Elections voted unanimously to recommend Governor Larry Hogan create vote centers at 282 public high schools. If you're registered to vote in Maryland, you could cast a ballot at any high school in your county, regardless of which precinct you live in. The governor has said he wants polling places open at about 1,800 precincts. This isn't a done deal. Board of Elections Vice Chair P.J. Hogan says the governor would have to approve the recommendation.
And he's either not going to do it or he's going to do it. If he's not going to do it, I don't want to say we're back to square one, but then we've got to come up with a different plan.
The board's plan is meant to make up for a shortage of poll workers during the pandemic and to prevent overcrowding at precincts. The former sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona, Joe Arpaio, loses a Republican primary election to win back the job he held for 24 years. The former sheriff, known for his tough stance on illegal immigration, lost the primary to his former top aide, Jerry Sheridan. Arpaio was convicted criminally after ignoring a judge's order for his deputies to stop profiling Latinos in traffic stops meant to catch illegal immigrants. President Trump pardoned him. Maryland officials are reopening coronavirus special enrollment period for people to enlist in the state's health insurance exchange.
The special enrollment period will run through December 15th. More than 54,000 Maryland residents enrolled for health coverage during an initial special enrollment period that began in mid-March. Officials said the reopening of the special enrollment period means Maryland will offer the longest special enrollment period in the nation related to the coronavirus emergency. Maria Leaf on WMAL and WMAL.com.
WMAL Sports, the Nats were routed by the Orioles 11-0. The Wizards were eliminated from playoff contention after losing to the Pelicans 118-107. Traffic and weather next.
Sunday, start your day with VA Sunday Magazine at 5. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. And at 8:30, it's Purity Products. Hear the Wise Investor at 9, Dr. Tom Rozelle live at 11, and the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour at 1. Purity Products returns at 2. Hear Mortgage Radio at 3, Real Estate Today at 7. And at 9 p.m., it's Lawyer in Your Corner with Ryan Wilson on WMAL.
Sponsored by Open Jar Concepts. Attention, this is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call us now at 800-462-2033. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-462-2033. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-462-2033. Again, 800-462-2033.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Maryland, getting reports of an accident on northbound 95 approaching Route 100 in the Elk Ridge area, so use extra caution traveling there. Looks like that earlier accident on the GW Parkway at 123 all cleared away. And an earlier accident on South Capitol Street near 295 also cleared from the roadway. Getting reports of a crash, though, in Hyattsville on 202 Landover Road right near 57th Avenue, so use caution traveling through that area. Also keep in mind that today Beach Drive is closed between the Kensington Parkway and Knowles Avenue to facilitate social distance recreation. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Well, after some morning clouds, we'll see those burn off later this morning, becoming partly cloudy later on today. We'll be much quieter start to the weekend, highs in the upper 80s. Don't have to worry about any flash flood watches, but we will have the chance for a stray afternoon shower or storm, mainly south of D.C. Tonight, mainly clear, lows back in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. If your Sunday, mostly sunny, it will be hot, highs back near 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Lee at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
With local schools announcing more online learning in the fall with no sports, a lot of parents are looking for an alternative. Vince Colonnais here. I need to tell you about Fork Union Military Academy. Located in Central Virginia, Fork Union Military Academy is one of the nation's leading college prep boarding schools, offering high-quality academics and athletics for young men in grades 7 through 12. At Fork Union, they emphasize core values like respect, integrity, faith, character, discipline. Their unique one-subject plan curriculum, combined with small class sizes, mandatory study periods, and personal accountability, works to help students reach their full potential. In fact, 100% of their graduating seniors gain college acceptance. Right now, Fork Union is accepting a limited number of fall enrollments for a safer on-campus learning experience, guaranteed to help your son achieve success in the classroom, in athletics, and in life. Want to learn more and see if Fork Union Military Academy is right for you? Visit ForkUnion.com. That's ForkUnion.com.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM,
WMAL. It is the Saturday morning update. Good to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi joins us. He is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com and on Newsmax TV. John, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
So, John, they've been working on this for weeks, months, and still no coronavirus relief deal between the White House, congressional Republicans, and congressional Democrats. Seems to be a stalemate going into the weekend. The president is talking about executive orders. What's the latest on what the administration may do next?
The president at his news conference last night certainly hinted that he was going to employ the executive order. As Barack Obama used to say, I've got my pen and I've got my phone. And in this case, the president would first and foremost extend the ban on evictions. He referred to it at his news conference Wednesday as something that was very important. He also could extend some of the relief packages and some of the funding. But as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi warned at her news conference Thursday night, if he tries to do this, he's going to be immediately the subject of litigation. There are severe legal questions about whether a president can, with the stroke of a pen, do what heretofore was required by an act of Congress. The ban on evictions was contained in the CARES Act, enacted by lawmakers, and now it has run out. Can a president simply sign an executive order, continue it? Legal scholars would certainly debate it. My guess is that they will go back to the table next week, and they will try to reach some kind of compromise. Right now, the differences are in the trillions. I never thought I'd see that, but that seems like a long way to try to reach some kind of an agreement.
President Trump can say good morning to someone and get sued. I mean, it's nonstop when it comes to the litigation he's facing. So Wednesday afternoon at the White House, I saw you ask the president a question about his relationship with the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper. They don't always see eye to eye on things, and there's been a lot of speculation as to how long the secretary might last, but he has lasted this long.
He certainly has, although good sources tell this reporter that he has discussed resignation. For example, when he came out and was photographed with the president in front of St. John's Episcopal Church as the president brandished a Bible, he later said that that was inappropriate, and he did speak to people within the military that he was close to about resigning. He stayed on the job. In addition, the president and his Secretary of Defense have clashed about the changing of the names of military bases that now bear the names of Confederate generals. Secretary Esper wants to change them. The president does not. This week, and this was the subject of my question, Secretary of Defense Esper said that the tragedy in Beirut, Lebanon, was, he understood, the result of an accident. Now, this differs sharply with the president's interpretation that it was an attack. I asked the president about his difference with his Pentagon chief, and he simply said no one knows. Some say it was an attack. Some say it was an accident. We don't know. And he did not indicate there was any sharp disagreement or even irritation with the Secretary of Defense. This reporter has seen people get frustrated, want to write letters of resignation, and then duty keeps them in the job. Most likely, that's going to be the case with the current Secretary of Defense.
So while the Secretary of Defense stays on the job, Congressman William Lacey Clay of Missouri will not be returning to the Congress in January. What's going on in the primaries this week, John?
In the biggest upset of the week and one of the biggest upsets of the year, Cori Bush, a nurse, a leader of the Black Lives Matter movement, and someone who proudly brandishes her arrests as if they were Olympic gold medals, defeated 20-year Congressman Lacey Clay. Now, I might add there's an element of history here. Before Lacey Clay came to Congress from the 1st District of Missouri, primarily St. Louis, his father, Bill Clay, had that district from 1968 until 2000. He holds a seat in history as the first black congressman from the Show Me State. So in other words, someone comes up from the streets and takes down a family dynasty that's held a congressional seat for 52 years. I might add that Cori Bush was someone who has called for the defunding of the police. She favors the Green New Deal, and she favors Medicare for all. On most of these positions, she doesn't differ at all with Congressman Clay. He's co-sponsored the Green New Deal and Medicare for all. However, she pointed out that in the age of confrontational politics and taking disagreements to the streets, which is her stock in trade, the congressman is not on the scene at all. 4 years ago this month, Michael Brown was killed in an event that set off riots in Ferguson, Missouri, which is in the 1st District. The congressman was nowhere to be found. As critics said, he was absent without leave on one of the most important and tragic developments in his district. On the fourth anniversary of the death of Ferguson's Michael Brown, voters remembered it. And in the Democratic primary, Cori Bush emerged triumphantly. One postscript to this. She is almost certain to join the four far-left progressive women known as the Squad. And I, for one, have dubbed her already Missouri's AOC.
All right, Tennessee, a different story. A Trump-endorsed candidate picks up the Republican nod for the Senate race. Tell us about Bill Hagerty.
Bill Hagerty is someone who could truly be called a friend of Donald. He was a top fundraiser for President Trump in the 2016 campaign. And most importantly, when the Access Hollywood tape appeared that threatened to derail the Trump campaign, many Trump fundraisers headed for the high grass. Not Bill Hagerty, who kept working for him. And this is something that Donald Trump never forgot. He made him ambassador to Japan, and when Ambassador Hagerty resigned to come back and explore a Senate race, well, the president was endorsing him already. He did face a strong primary challenger, Dr. Manny Sethi, the son of Indian immigrants who had become a successful physician. He raised more than $4 million, and he attacked Hagerty as an establishment Republican. He pointed out that he'd been national finance chairman for Mitt Romney, certainly no friend of the president, and was a supporter of Jeb Bush. He even noted that Republican Hagerty made a $1,000 donation to Democrat Al Gore for president 20 years ago. All of this seemed to just bounce off Bill Hagerty because he had the endorsement of President Trump, who made two conference calls in his behalf to supporters in the volunteer state. In addition, Don Trump Jr. came in and campaigned for Mr. Hagerty. That was all he needed. He won by a margin of 52% to 38%. And I might add, in succeeding the much more moderate Lamar Alexander, he moved Tennessee a little bit to the right.
Well, John, as of the end of the week, both President Trump and the former Vice President, Joe Biden, were looking for a place to accept their respective parties' nomination for the presidency. Donald Trump floated the idea of the White House. He's caught a lot of flack for it, but it wouldn't be the first time now, would it, as you pointed out in an article?
No, not at all. In 1940, Franklin Delano Roosevelt delivered his acceptance speech for an historic third term from the White House. As a matter of fact, it was on July 16, 1940. The president had two speeches with him, one declining nomination and the other accepting it. He would have declined, he said, if the Democratic Convention did not accept his choice for Vice President Henry Wallace. Well, the convention went along with him, and the president went into the broadcast room in the White House. This was a studio that he had that looked similar to the Oval Office and from which he addressed the nation numerous times in his famous fireside chats. Well, he accepted the nomination from that room right in the White House. So Donald Trump would not be the first president to do it. I might add that people brought up the Hatch Act, and President Trump on Wednesday reminded those who cover him the Hatch Act, which bans government property and activity on the part of many government officials, does not apply to the president or vice president. The Hatch Act was passed in 1939, and it obviously didn't apply to FDR or the White House. Now, if there is one difference, it is that President Trump has hinted at accepting the nomination from the White House lawn with a full-blown extravaganza. FDR did it from the place he'd made many speeches before, the broadcast room. But in any event, Donald Trump wouldn't be the first president to accept nomination from his official residence.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist, and resident historian at Newsmax.com. John, thank you very much as always.
Well, I'm looking forward to more news next week, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more to report. Thank you, Rick.
And you can follow John on Twitter at John Gizzy. 720, check out the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, some road work being set up on 66 eastbound. They're doing some road widening just east of U.S. 29 headed towards East Falls Church. That's exit 69. Watch out for the right lane to be closed through that area, though so far that is not causing any delays. Do watch out for some accident activity in Maryland and Hyattsville on Landover Road near 57th Avenue. Northbound on 95 near Route 100 in Elkridge. There was an accident there. Looks like that has been moved over to the shoulder. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
After some morning clouds, we'll see those burn off later this morning, becoming partly cloudy later on today. It will be a much quieter start to the weekend, highs in the upper 80s. Don't have to worry about any flash flood watches, but we will have the chance for a stray afternoon shower or storm, mainly south of D.C. Tonight, mainly clear, lows back in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. If you're Sunday, mostly sunny, it will be hot, highs back near 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Ligget at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
72 degrees at 7:21 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. It's nice to have you with us. And we're joined once again this week by Carrie Pickett. She is senior campaign reporter at the Washington Examiner. Carrie, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Last week about this time, we were talking about the impasse between the Republicans and the Democrats on the coronavirus relief package. We could either replay the interview from last week or see if there's anything new, but I'm not sure that there is.
It doesn't really seem to be. I got to tell you, my colleague Susan Ferriccio has been doing incredible coverage of the coronavirus package fight up on Capitol Hill, and it seems that we have ended this particular week with the Republicans and the Democrats pretty much going their separate ways, and President Trump is more than likely going to issue some executive orders to see if they can cover the unemployment insurance at this point and put out some other protections to cover the coronavirus relief aid as much as they can until Congress figures a way out to hash out some sort of legislative package. Until then, they're at a standstill.
How much would you say this is influenced by the November election? In other words, jockeying for position?
Oh, this is a this has everything to do with the election in November, because you have the Democrats who are looking to make sure that they can see what they can get out of it in some way, shape, or form. They can go and they can tell their constituents that the economy is not doing well because the president can't seem to get it together when it comes to basically trying to jumpstart the economy as a result of the coronavirus. And they're trying to say that he can't seem to put some sort of package together along with the Republicans. And they can pretty much point to how things have gone over on the Hill. On the other hand, though, Biden has not exactly put together his own vision for what he would do in terms of the coronavirus. So that's a bit of a problem for the Democrats. The only thing the Democrats are doing right now is simply asking for almost $1 trillion more in coronavirus aid spending. And the Republicans are saying, look, if you guys keep on asking for $600 a week extra in unemployment insurance supplemental, that's just going to keep people to stay away from working, and they're not going to have any sort of incentive to go back to work. So that really seems to be the crux here of what we're seeing right now.
We've seen the opinion polls of how Americans feel about the Congress. Is there a possibility that Trump could score some points here by taking executive action? He comes in and he actually makes something happen.
Well, people don't really pay attention, and this is true of any industry. What we work in is the politics industry, for a lack of a better phrase. People who don't work in politics, they're not going to necessarily watch the nuts and bolts of how the legislation or how things are necessarily made, as long as the check comes in the mail. And if they see the check comes in the mail, whether it was done through an executive order or if it was done through a coronavirus relief package, as long as they can somehow in some way get their lives in order, that means that they can pretty much move on, and then finger pointing is going to proceed no matter what, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. But you know, as far as the election is concerned, I have a feeling that both sides are going to be setting up shop regardless.
Turn to Joe Biden. A bit of a tough week for Joe Biden in two different interviews. One with a reporter from CBS, Errol Barnett. The reporter asked Joe Biden about taking a cognitive test, and Joe Biden turns around and asks a reporter of color if he's a junkie and would he take a cocaine test.
Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say?
And then at the end of it, when they're talking about cognitive tests, Biden says,
I'm so forward-looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates.
And I thought typically you would say you look forward to as opposed to I forward look. So that was one. And then he had the second gaffe of the week when it came to interviews. And that was in sort of blanket dismissing the diversity in the African-American community when he compared it to diversity in the Latino community.
The Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
How much damage is this doing to him with African-Americans?
Joe Biden has had a history of making gaffes and having a slip-ups over the years when it's come to the African-American community. Unfortunately, though, what we've seen, the Democratic primaries, that he's made a whole number of them. If you do a Google search and you say Biden walks back, Biden clarifies, and you put that in quotes, you're going to see a whole string of stories that goes right to that point. And unfortunately, it's only worsened and sped up as far as some of the problems that we're seeing with a Biden right now. And I would imagine that we're probably going to be seeing less of Biden on TV right now. And the campaign is probably trying to figure out what they can do to keep Biden away from reporters who will give him questions that he's not necessarily going to expect.
Carrie Pickett, senior campaign reporter at the Washington Examiner. Thank you very much for your insight this morning.
Sure thing.
And we appreciate it, Carrie. It is 7:28, Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland's take on the Sally Yates testimony all coming up.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's the final days to save up to $500 on select Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds, plus special financing on all smart beds. Ends Wednesday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Big Mac, Chicken McNuggets. No, Big Mac and Quarter Pounder with cheese.
Or Filet-O-Fish.
You'd be doing the same thing if you were at McDonald's, because you can choose not just one, but two of your favorites for just $6. Tasty Big Mac, crispy 10-piece Chicken McNuggets, juicy Quarter Pounder with cheese, or savory Filet-O-Fish. Enjoy two of your all-time favorites for just $6, if you can decide on the two. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Heather Curtis. A lawsuit filed against Montgomery County by some parents of private school kids may soon be dropped now that the county's health director has rescinded an order requiring private schools to do all remote learning through at least October 1st. Dr. Travis Gales and the state were fighting over the mandate. Gales decided to take it back after the state's health secretary told local health officers they did not have the power to do that. One of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, James Lawson, tells WMAL's The Larry O'Connor Show, even though Gales can't issue a blanket order,
he may still have the same kind of institution by institution inspection rights that they have on, say, restaurants, for example.
Sure.
And those could be kind of steep.
Lawson says it's not exactly clear what health guidelines the private schools will have to follow. Howard University is the latest in our region to decide to have all undergraduate classes meet online for the fall semester. In a statement, University President Wayne Frederick says the decision was made because of rising COVID-19 cases nationally. He said about 40% of undergrads come from states that are on the district's hotspot list, so they would have to quarantine when they got to campus. Dorms will also be closed. WMAL Sports, the Nats were routed by the Orioles 11-0. World Series MVP Steven Strasburg is scheduled to make his season debut tomorrow after being sidelined by a nerve problem in his pitching hand. And the Wizards have been eliminated from playoff contention after losing to the Pelicans 118-107. Traffic and weather next.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Sunday at 1 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation this Sunday at 1 p.m.
There's a lot going on in real estate, and now you're planning to sell. So who do you call and trust to get you the most money for your home and do it safely? Here's your answer. Call Sarah and Debbie Reynolds with the Reynolds team, Keller Williams Realty. Sarah and Debbie will guarantee to sell your home at 100% of your asking price, or they will pay you the difference. Listen, there's a difference between getting your home sold and getting your home sold right. Getting your home sold right means more money in your pocket, not just getting it sold. Sarah and Debbie get their sellers $32,500 more dollars on average. For Kendra Miller, the Reynolds team sold her home right. Kendra received 19 offers and sold for the highest sale in the neighborhood. Call the Reynolds team today at 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In the district, do keep in mind that a portion of New Jersey Avenue is closed northbound between K Street and New York Avenue for construction today till about 6 o'clock this evening. Watch out for posted detours in the area. Now, also keep in mind that there is some paving work taking place on South Dakota Avenue between Gallatin Street and Riggs Road, so do watch out for lane closures in that area. In Virginia, do watch out for some road work right now on 66 eastbound approaching Fairfax Drive in the right lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Morning clouds will burn off later on this morning, giving way to partly cloudy skies. Today, highs will be in the upper 80s. We'll have the chance for a few stray storms, mainly to the south of D.C., closer to the boundary that gave us the heavy rain over the past several days. Tonight, mainly clear, lows back into the 70s downtown, lower 60s in some of the outlying suburbs. For your Sunday, mostly sunny skies. It will be hot, highs around 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Sarah, I've been thinking about home. The idea of home.
What do you mean?
Do you remember T.S. Eliot?
Yeah, famous poet.
He said, "And the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time."
No matter where we go, we always come home.
It's kind of like baseball.
Oh?
The idea is to get from here back around to here.
It's all about going home.
I'm proud of all the people at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Because we make home feel more like home.
All you have to do is point.
My definition of junk is anything that gets in your way or frustrates you or makes you unhappy.
1-800-GOT-JUNK is full-service junk removal.
Just tell us what you want to disappear.
And we make it happen.
Remember, people, all you have to do is point.
And your house will be a home again.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Kids, 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to cardsforkids.com. That's cards with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Did you know that according to the federal government, having as little as $20,000 in revolving monthly bills meets the definition of excessive debt? And the latest numbers indicate as many as 4 out of 5 Americans fall into this category. Hi, I'm Mark Livingstone with Cornerstone First Financial, and if these numbers are accurate, then 80% of the people listening to my voice right now should listen very carefully. With a massive rise of equity in homes across the country, now totaling $5.7 trillion, your home can be used to pay down that debt or eliminate PMI, which may save you hundreds of dollars every single month. Let us help you wipe out that excessive debt with just a phone call. We guarantee we'll meet or beat any competitor on this very station, or we'll pay your mortgage for an entire year. Some restrictions apply. Our number is 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221. And our website is cornerstonefirst.com.
NMLS ID 183265, consumeraccess.org.
It is the Saturday morning update on WML. Glad that you have joined us, and we're always glad to be joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart, and also he is the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Rick, good morning. Always great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. All right. By now, I think most folks listening have probably seen those images out of Beirut, Lebanon, the explosion, just huge blast.
Yeah.
Now, the Lebanese president is saying, quote, "The incident might be a result of negligence or external intervention through a missile or a bomb." What are you hearing, and what is the process to make that determination?
Well, the process is to try to put together the pieces, which is going to be very difficult based on the scope of the explosion. But I think that it's clear that this warehouse, literally full of thousands of tons of ammonium nitrate, which is highly unstable, shouldn't have been there. That was not a good place to store high explosives or things that could turn into high explosives. So that's number one. How and why it happened, let's be kind of clear here. This warehouse was full of this stuff for years, since 2014. So I don't know if there's any reason to think that there is a reason for it to be set off now. The initial assessment that I've looked at says it was actually probably an accident. With that said, you can never completely rule out some sort of a man-made starting the fire or something. Clearly something happened there. So the question becomes, was this a man-made fire? Did someone start fire? I don't think it was a missile. I don't think someone fired something into it. But it's very clear at this point that that stuff should not have been stored in an area, you know, that close to downtown. So,
all right. I wanted to ask you about the magnitude of the explosion. Can you compare that? I mean, we saw the images, but how would you kind of characterize it from your standpoint?
So if you look at the Hiroshima explosion, which was about 15 kilotons, this explosion was roughly one quarter of that. Just the magnitude, and there's some great pictures online, if you can Google it, that show the before and after of the photo of the grain silo and the mother thing. So that entire dock area was vaporized. And so my estimates, based on the folks I've spoken to, it's roughly one quarter of what the Hiroshima explosion was. So while it wasn't nuclear, it was highly significant. And I think, again, the destructive effect of that amount of explosives in one spot really did have the effects of a small nuclear weapon.
Mm. Wow. Now, here in the United States, obviously, we would have a concern that something like this doesn't happen. Are there regulations in terms of storage, or is it possible that there's a cache of explosives like this sitting around somewhere?
Well, it's possibly a cache, but it's going to be isolated and well-labeled. One of the things required within the industry is that explosive things like this are always labeled. If you notice trucks on the interstate as you're driving, you'll see often there's a triangle on the side of the truck which has some sort of explosives on it, note on it. So the answer is we see things moved around the United States all the time which are highly volatile. Right in Alexandria, there are things located there in Alexandria, Virginia, which people, I think, are very concerned about. But they're very tightly controlled, very tightly regulated. So I think any time you see things like this, it would be isolated and well managed. It wouldn't be left in a warehouse to just kind of wait for people to figure out what to do as it was in Lebanon.
All right. I want to turn to the report from the intelligence community that basically, to sum it up, they say that Russia would like to see Joe Biden denigrated, is the quote they use, denigrate Joe Biden, and that China would like to see Donald Trump lose the election. I know you're following the election security very closely. What's your read on that report?
Yeah, we should have some editorials out this next week on the issue of election security. But on Russia, Rick, I don't think the Russians want to interfere with Joe Biden kind of self-destructing. I don't know Vladimir Putin at all. But
he can do it himself, right?
I don't think they're going to be doing anything on that. I think they are smart enough to recognize that the self damage being done is sufficient. Regarding China, look, the Chinese are very unhappy with the policies of the United States, especially when they're being challenged militarily, they're being called out economically, and they're actually being now called to account for Hong Kong and other civil rights abuses which were going on long before President Trump came in. So, no, they don't want President Trump to stay. But the bottom line is nobody that I know of and on either side wants to have any political interference from any foreign country. So I think it's clear the Russians aren't happy with Joe, and Chinese aren't happy with President Trump. But we have to do everything we can to protect our process for what it is.
And Iran was a third country mentioned in that report. And, you know, we always hear about Russia meddling and China meddling. We don't often hear about Iran meddling. How significant would that be? And I would assume they would be anti-Trump.
Yeah. And so that would be going back to the electronic infrastructure. They really don't have the throw weight of Russia or China, so to speak, regarding direct interference. So we're talking about, in their case, more cyber-related. And one of the things, as we've talked about a number of times and I work on directly, is trying to prevent any electronic voting. Any connectivity between voting machines and the Internet are hugely bad because it can be hacked. Anything that can be that's attached to the Internet can be hacked, and therefore the Iranians are indeed focused on trying to see what they can find in the way of hacking databases or machines, especially in swing states that will be critical to the next election.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, as always, thank you very much for your perspectives this morning, Tony. Appreciate it.
Sure. Great. Thanks, Rick.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. We're at 7:44, Saturday morning update, WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Getting a report of an accident in the district on DC 295 northbound near Banning Road with the right lane blocked, so watch out for delays to start forming through that accident scene. Also, if you're traveling in Virginia on 66, you will find some road work eastbound inside the Beltway. In Arlington, right near exit 69, the exit for East Falls Church heading towards Fairfax Drive, they're doing some road widening work, taking away the right lane. So far, that is not causing any delays. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Well, after some morning clouds, we'll see those burn off later this morning, becoming partly cloudy later on today. It will be a much quieter start to the weekend, highs in the upper 80s. Don't have to worry about any flash flood watches, but we will have the chance for a stray afternoon shower or storm, mainly south of D.C. Tonight, mainly clear, lows back in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. If your Sunday, mostly sunny, it will be hot, highs back near 90 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett, the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
72 degrees in the nation's capital at 7:45.
It's okay.
Coronavirus.
The virus can't spread through your telephone.
The American people are resilient.
So come on in. Breathe easy.
I think most people don't have a problem with that.
And speak your mind.
Thank you for taking my call.
At 105.9 FM WMAL.
I can't believe you finally had LASIK.
Yeah, I was so tired of contacts. I just couldn't do the itching and irritation anymore.
I thought you couldn't do it because of your astigmatism.
I thought so too. But the LASIK Plus doctors say they treat astigmatism all the time, and I'm seeing great.
Wow, but didn't it hurt and take a long time?
Not at all. It was quick and painless. Back to work the next day. Way easier than going to the dentist.
That sounds great. Was it expensive?
They made it affordable. They guaranteed financing and found a plan that fit my budget.
The LASIK Plus surgeons have performed over 2 million procedures in the last 25 years. Find out for yourself how easy, fast, and affordable LASIK can be at LASIK Plus. Call 844-261-2020. Right now, we're extending our 20% friends and family discount to patients treated in August who mention this ad. That's 844-261-2020. LASIKplus20.com. 20% discount applies to Wavelight procedure with lifetime plan. Must mention this ad at center and be treated in August 2020 to qualify. Results may vary. See details at LASIKplus20.com.
Reinventing. It's what small businesses do. And reinventing is what Comcast Business is here to help you with. So, whether you're swapping your tables for takeout or turning your online store into your flagship store, you'll be able to work faster with powerful, reliable internet from the nation's largest gig speed network. Work safer with all your connected devices automatically protected by Security Edge, and work anywhere with Comcast Business at Home, our new business-grade internet solution that keeps your team of remote workers connected wherever they're based. So, whatever your business needs, Comcast Business has the solutions and expertise to help you not just bounce back, but bounce forward. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution now for just $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get free installation when you order online. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to ComcastBusiness.com today to find out more. Offer ends 8/16/2020. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 100 megabits internet. Reinstall offer applies to one outlet. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra subject to change.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Shopping for appliances? There are now more ways than ever to get the attention you deserve at Bray & Scarf. Make an in-store appointment with one of our factory-trained appliance experts. Schedule a live video shopping session from the comfort of your home. Or get the answers you need by phone, chat, or text. However you choose to shop, Bray & Scarf experts work harder to help you find the appliance you need. Read our great Google reviews and see for yourself. Then shop local at Bray & Scarf, where it doesn't cost more to get more.
Don't miss Bray & Scarf's Virginia Sales Tax Holiday, going on now.
Pay no sales tax on select Energy Star washers, dishwashers, and refrigerators. No sales tax. Plus, appliance deals throughout the store, including exclusive savings on all GE and Cafe appliances. Bray & Scarf is the area's number one local and independent appliance retailer with the absolute lowest prices and Bray & Scarf's best price guarantee. Hurry in. Now open in Springfield. Or visit BrayandScarf.com.
7:50, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and honored to be joined by K.T. McFarland. She is the former Deputy National Security Advisor in the Trump administration, and she has authored Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. And it's all about who's in charge in Washington, the professional bureaucracy and the Washington establishment, and pretty much everything that's wrong with it. K.T., good morning. Great to have you with us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Sally Yates was a top official in the Obama Justice Department. She was Deputy Attorney General and then served as Acting Attorney General in the first days of the Trump administration. So you worked with her. She was later fired by President Trump for insubordination. On Wednesday, the Senate Judiciary Committee asked her whether then Vice President Joe Biden had brought up the Logan Act during an Oval Office meeting related to the investigation of the incoming National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. She said, "I can't remember." I want to get your take and your takeaway on her testimony. But first off, you've written an opinion piece at foxnews.com. You can find it. The headline on it, "What Sally Yates Got Wrong About My Phone Call with Flynn." So first off, it kind of set this up for us. Explain how this impacts you so personally.
Okay. Well, the whole Russia probe was premised on the fact that they thought, or they pretended to think, that Donald Trump was in collusion with the Russians. And one of the main people and perpetrators of this was Mike Flynn. And they had several things that they pointed to. One was a Steele dossier, which we now know was totally made up, paid for by the Clinton campaign, pushed into the FBI, dragged into the FBI by people who were associated with the Clinton campaign. I think what really happened is that the Obama administration was spying on the Trump campaign. They wanted to know what was going on in the Trump campaign because they didn't know any of the people involved. They weren't sure what was going on. And in part, they wanted to find out sort of where he was headed. Now, it was convenient. They had no legal right to do that. So what did they do? They did what the intelligence community always does. When they have no right to investigate something or pry into something, they have intelligence officials leak to their friendly Washington reporters some spun details and stories, in this case, the Steele dossier, other things of that nature, to make it look like Trump was really in collusion with the Russians. And then the intelligence community can point to those newspaper articles and say, see, we really better investigate this because there might be something there. Look, the press has it. Well, so in other words, the media takes happily what the intelligence community gives them, spins it around, and then the intelligence community can point to those articles, which they planted as their justification. And that's what they did in the case of the Russia hoax. The entire thing was a sort of a coordination between certain members of the media and certain members of the high levels of the intelligence community. They wanted to get rid of Donald Trump, and they couldn't figure out how to do it. So they had the campaign, and then once Trump won, which would have exposed all of the things that they had done during the campaign, they knew they really needed to get a cover story. So I think Sally Yates talked about the cover story. The cover story was that there was a carefully constructed conspiracy, she didn't use the word conspiracy, with the Trump people to work with the Russians to undo President Obama's foreign policy. And the thing she pointed to as a sort of original sin was a phone call that I had with General Flynn. Now, I don't think Sally Yates was listening into that phone call. She certainly wasn't invited into it by General Flynn or myself. But she purported to know what it was all about. And she said, well, it was part of a carefully coordinated series of conversations with the Russians to neuter President Obama's foreign policy because President Obama was taking the bold stand of trying to punish and deter the Russians for interfering in our elections. number one, yes, they interfered in our elections. They've always done it. They've done it from the beginning of time. But they don't do it by changing ballot boxes or vote counts. They do it by trying to change public opinion because they want to make sure that in the minds of their people and of our people, democracy looks dysfunctional. So that's what they were trying to do. That's what they've always tried. They've tried to do it in the Vietnam War. They tried to do it after World War II. That's how the Russians behave. But it doesn't mean that there's a coordinated series of conversations to neuter President Obama's foreign policy. Their argument, and I think the argument you're going to hear a lot of in the next couple of weeks and months as more and more of this unfolds, is, well, they had every right to do this. The intelligence community, the Obama administration, had every right to investigate Trump and to keep investigating Trump because their suspicions and the prima facie evidence is that when they imposed sanctions on the Russians didn't do anything. They didn't retaliate. So, aha, it must have been a deal. And the deal, she claims, started with my phone call with General Flynn, where she implied that I was passing along orders from President Trump. None of that's true, but that's the argument that they're going to use. What's never occurred to them is that the reason the Russians didn't respond and didn't retaliate against Obama's sanctions is they had far more to lose than we did. They were not about to risk a relationship, an approved relationship in the Trump administration by retaliating to a lame duck President Obama. But never mind. That what they did then was launch the entire hoax, which they knew from the get-go was a hoax because they had planted the hoax. And they dragged the country through 3 years of divisiveness, division, bitter acrimony to the point where here we are.
I would like to point people to your opinion piece. It is at foxnews.com. And the headline, once again, What Sally Yates Got Wrong About My Phone Call with Flynn. You go into great detail about the call, about the process, about what you discussed. And again, people can read that at foxnews.com. I did want to talk to you about the future as you see it with Russia, China. We heard about the Intel community's report on who they favor in the upcoming election. Obviously, you were there. You saw the intel at the time as to who was doing what. What do you see as to what happens in the future?
Well, when President Obama imposed the sanctions on Russia, I made a couple of important phone calls to my mind during the transition, and one of them was to Dr. Fiona Hill, who is at the Brookings Institute. I think she's the best Putin expert in the world. And I was trying to recruit her to come into the Trump administration on the National Security Council. And I said, well, why would Putin do this? Was he trying to favor Clinton? Was he trying to favor Trump? Was he trying to get caught? What was this all about? And she said, look, it's not political. He didn't favor one candidate or another. He didn't have any particular special intelligence. He thought Clinton was going to win like everybody else. But what he wanted to do was to sow doubt and dissension on the process of our elections and democracy. He wanted to stir things up. And I think that's what they very successfully did because the American media, the Democrats on the Hill, and the intelligence community in the United States ran with it, and they sowed the division that we have today. The Chinese are going to do the same thing. And the way they do it, again, it's not to change the ballot box numbers, which they could perfectly capably do under cyber attacks or covert action. But what they're trying to do is to get us to lose faith in democracy ourselves. They want us to look dysfunctional to the world and to be tearing at each other's throats. So then they can go to the world and say, see, democracy, its days are done. Autocracy, authoritarian government, that's the wave of the future. The wave of the future is China. The wave of the future is Russia. And they want us to be squabbling amongst ourselves and really destroying democracy from within.
K.T. McFarland, the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. And the book really gives you a look at what happens in the White House, what happens in Washington, and all the intricacies of the bureaucracy. And K.T., the things you had to deal with when it came to those leftover bureaucrats that had their own agenda versus the incoming administration. K.T., thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rick.
7:59, that's it for the Saturday morning update. The news is next at 8 o'clock, then it's Garden Sense on WMAL.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station.